Drawing his sword, Burgoon thrust the young hare behind him, uttering a quiet caution.
Stick close to my back and don't do anything foolhardy. There's a fire burning t'other side of yon tree. I hope there's friendly beasts sitting round it.
Horty snorted.
Fair chance in this neck of the woods, pal. All we've met is bounders and cads since we climbed those cliffs. Friendly, you say? Probably so friendly they'll chop off our blinking heads on sight, what?
The otter's paw clamped over Horty's mouth.
Stow the gab and stay behind me. We'll soon see.
There were six reptiles in all. Two large frilled lizards, three fat toads, and a grass snake lounging around the fire. They were grilling a mess of bleak and minnow on green twigs. Having made a bit of noise as they approached, both travellers were expected. One of the lizards stood barring their way to the water, which appeared to be a small streamlet flowing away into a dense pine forest. The rest of the reptile crew crouched, ready to back the lizard up. Burgoon nodded civilly to them, noting that all eyes were on his sword.
Evening to you. We've come for water.
One of the lizards sniggered nastily, trying to imitate the otter's voice.
Evening to you. We've come for water.
Horty noticed several large gourds of water nearby.
That's the jolly old stuff. Water, you know, that pleasant liquid which is rather nice to drink. I say, those tiny fish smell rather toothsome, what? Don't suppose you'd like to donate a few to a worthy cause? A hungry but honest hare, eh?
The reptiles edged around, circling the pair. The largest of the lizards picked up a crude flint-tipped spear, pointing it at Burgoon.
Water's not a free. It's all ours. You want our fishes and drink? Give us brighter blade.
Ignoring him, the otter turned to Horty.
I don't know what it is with the beasts in this country, but they seem to think we're dim-witted. Our stream, our water, our fish. While poor young Fenna's dying for a drop of water. I've taken about enough of all this claptrap, mate. You take my sword, don't do anything. Just stay there. That's an order.
Horty took the weapon and saluted.
As you say, sir. And pray, what do you intend doing, if one may ask, what?
A slow, savage grin spread across the otter's tough face.
Nothing much. I'm just going to get us some water.
Roaring out a war cry, Burgoon launched himself at the reptiles.
Make way for Burgoon of Redwall!
Horty could not have moved if he had wanted to. He stood wide-eyed with shock, watching six reptiles take the most fearsome beating he had ever witnessed. Burgoon broke the spear of one of the lizards over its head, then picked the reptile up and hurled it into the stream. He went at the others like a mad beast. Flinging himself through the air, he butted a toad heavily in its enormous stomach. As air shot out of the toad in a whoosh, he rudder-whipped it hard thrice across the head. Laying it senseless, he turned and grabbed the other lizard, running it forcefully, snout on into the willow trunk. Seizing the grass snake, he used it like a flail, cracking the jaws of the other two toads with the snake's head. Burgoon leaped high. Still holding the grass snake, he landed on the two toads' stomachs, then booted all three toads into the stream. The other lizard sat facing the tree trunk, nursing its broken snout, knotting the snake around its neck. The otter looped them both to a low branch, dusting off his paws and breathing heavily. Burgoon took the sword from the astounded young hare. Putting the sword point at the lizard, he growled.
In the future, mind your manners and be polite to visitors.
The lizard clutched onto the coils of the senseless grass snake around its neck. The snake was looped to the branch above, keeping the lizard on tip-paw. Burgoon put his face close to the reptile and roared thunderously.
You're all dead beasts if and I clap eyes on you again. Do you hear me, slime guts?
Dipping a paw into one of the gourds, the otter tasted the water and spat it out in disgust, then called to his companion.
Get your gob out of that stream, young'un. Wash these things out and fill them with fresh water. I'll get the fish.
He stowed the sword over his shoulder.
Don't dilly-dally, mate. Fenner and the others will be waiting. Put a move on.
Horsey hurried to do Bragoon's bidding, holding a conversation with himself as he rinsed and filled the containers.
Seasons a soup and salad, upon my word. That crackpot must have been a writer in his younger days, what? Come across. A chap'd do well to stay the right side of that otter. He's a blooming one-beast army.
Bragoon's voice cut sharply into his meanderings.
Stop chunnering and get him filled, you great gabby windbag.
Horsey filled the last gourd with one paw, saluting furiously with the other.
Chunnering, sir? Who, sir? Me, sir? No, sir. Not never know how. Last one filled, sir. All correct. What?
Bragoon had chopped branches with his sword. He and Horsey carried the gourds, strung on the wood and yoked across their shoulders, two to each of them. They had drunk sufficient water and chewed on the cooked fish as they trekked back to their friends. Sighting the lean-to in dawn's pearly light, they dashed forward, slopping water with Horsey yelling,
Toodle-pip, there you idle lot! Here come two handsome water carriers! I say, we've got fish too! Jolly good, eh?
There was no reply from the shelter. Bragoon hurried forward, only to find it deserted.
This ends Disc 8.